Federal News Radio senior correspondent Mike Causey's here, and the Department of Veterans Affairs appears at least, to be receiving in the next couple of weeks a big cash infusion. The House of Representatives and the Senate will work together over the next couple of weeks. The House bill is like $600 million to go to the VA healthcare system to hire doctors and nurses and so on. The Senate bill's $30 billion. And a tremendous, obviously the final number would be somewhere in between. But we don't have any sense right now, I guess, do we, that this will actually provide a better outcome for the men and women in the veterans healthcare system.
No, I think that's a fair statement, because I'm not sure yet we know what the problem is. You know, we've heard about cooking the books. The inspector general has said this, has said that. But I've heard it both ways. It literally reminds me of the current political ads going on in the state of Maryland. They'll come on, and the three leading candidates in the Democratic primary say the exact opposite of what the other one is saying, and they paint their position. And in this case, the things I'm hearing and reading and seeing about the VA totally confuse me. A lot of people say that you have, you know, veterans taking care of veterans, and it's an ideal situation. VA has a very high percentage of military veterans, one of the highest in the government. You hear that, you know, members of Congress, they want the VA hospital in their area to work well, whether it's out of patriotism or feeling of loyalty or just good politics. Everybody wants this thing to work, so I can't see what the problem is. I have also heard, and I don't know that this is true, is that the VA, Congress usually offers the VA more money than it takes. Now, I don't know what that's all about, mm-hmm. if it's true, but it just seems to me that identifying the problem is critical to this. Politicians always throw money at it. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not.
Another terrible wrinkle to this story that we learned over the weekend or this morning is a front page story in the New York Times about what happens to whistleblowers at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Apparently, according to the reporting in this story, retaliation is very high, punishment very high, demotions, and in some cases people being turkey farmed, very, very common in the Department of Veterans Affairs. That has potentially a chilling effect, not just at VA, but all across government, doesn't it?
I'm sure it does. It always intrigues me when people talk about whistleblowers and what a heinous thing it is to treat them a certain way until somebody blows the whistle on their organization.
Right.
And it can be a newspaper, it can be a TV station, it can be anything. But the establishment loves whistleblowers except in their own ranks.
The story in the New York Times is headlined, VA punished critics on staff, doctors assert, and it's essentially healthcare professionals saying, if I spoke up about any of the things that were going on in my practice or in my area of influence that were not right, the career people, the paper pushers, as they're being portrayed here, shot me down. And it's not just coming from one or two, it's coming from dozens of installations, the story says, and it's coming from a lot of people. This isn't a unique story or limited to a small amount of people.
I don't doubt it for a minute. I just think this is a lot more universal than we think. And again, everybody applauds, or not everybody, many people applaud a whistleblower until he or she blows the whistle in their organization or on them, and it makes them look bad. And I know of organizations that make a career of defending the rights of people, and yet they have problems in their own ranks, and they turn on them too.
The link to that story in the New York Times is at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Senior correspondent Mike Causey's here. Your column on federalnewsradio.com today is headlined, Fat Cat Feds? Up to a point, and it actually ties into this VA situation. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine who is a radio talk show host in Wichita, Kansas, forwarded me an email. He's also a vet, and he gets care at the Wichita VA hospital. And he sent me this email last week that I thought was really interesting. I mentioned a couple of times on the program. And it listed positions that were open. He wrote down the job postings at the hospital with the ranges and said, does this look right to you? Now, I'm no expert. I wrote him back and said, I'm sorry, I don't know. I can check around for you. But one of them was like a very high-level position. and the head of a department. I want to say urology, but I'm not sure if that's right or not. And the range was $150,000 to $300,000. And the point he was making was, hey, these are really good jobs, and these people are making a lot of money for Wichita, Kansas, you know, where the median income is far below $150,000. But I said, I'm not sure you're asking the right question. My question would be, is that range commensurate with what the, say it was head of urology, with what the head of the urology department is making at the private hospital or hospitals in Wichita? That's the right question, in my view. Am I?
No, you're right. I mean, it's the old apples to oranges kind of thing. And when people look at a lot of these, this data came from the Cato Institute. This goes back 4 or 5 years now. And I remember the first time I saw the story, I was in California at a conference, and Bill Bransford, the late Bill Bransford, came in with a copy of a newspaper. The front page said, federal workers are paid more than people in the private sector, and page one in a national newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, it's kind of interesting. He said, this is trouble. This is trouble. And he was so right. But they you can take the data, look at the average federal salary, and I've forgotten what it is now. It's in the 80s or 90s right now, the average federal salary. That's better than the country as a whole by a lot. But as I'm fond of saying, Uncle Sam doesn't hire any greeters. Mm-hmm. Uncle Sam doesn't do retail. So you're really comparing apples and oranges. When you look at the federal government, and I hope I'm not being a cheerleader or a homer for them here, but it's just fact. If you look at the federal government today, you have places like NASA, you have National Science Foundation, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It is a highly professional, highly organized, not organized, but high-level government workers. More of them have college degrees than I think almost any other group in the country. Mm-hmm. And you get a city like Alamogordo, New Mexico, where, with the concentration of federal workers and the kinds they are, and it stands out as the top IQ place in the country. It's a different breed of cat, and you can't, as your friend was doing, you can see why he'd do it.
Sure.
$300,000 is a lot of money for Wichita. $100,000 is a lot of money for Wichita. But again, look at who's the head of the local hospital, who's head of the state university hospital, see what they make, and might not be so far off.
Want to go back to the VA situation. Are you surprised vis-a-vis the whistleblowers and some of these other accusations that employees there are making? I read in the Washington Post today that AFGE represents 2/3 of employees at the Department of Veterans Affairs. Are you surprised we haven't heard more from the union, not just AFGE, but from any other unions that might be involved here?
I think the AFGE, there's an issue. I've talked to some of the managerial groups and the Senior Executives Association, and it appears, and they've told me this about the other one, that some of the unions support the idea of eliminating bonuses, because they say this is causing a lot of the problem, mm-hmm. because the bonuses are going to managers anyhow, not their people, but their people are getting in trouble if they falsify records to please the boss, or if they blow the whistle to displease the boss. So I think there are very different sides here.
But that would tend to make me think, if their employees are the ones who are potentially in the line of fire here, I would think that would be to their advantage to talk more about some of the problems and to talk more about what these whistleblowers have seen. If their members are the employees who would be the ones who would get into trouble for doing these things that their managers or senior leaders are telling them they have to do.
Yeah, you would
that
think
aren't right.
You would think so. Yeah, I didn't realize the AFGE was that strong, and I wonder if that is represents or if those are members, that 2/3 figure.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's often purposely used to inflate figures or whatnot. But if they have 2/3 are members, then they have a tremendous stake in it. If they represent 2/3, that means they have some members there, but they have to represent non-members.